I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast. You may say the gayest show in the galaxy. That's right, I'm bringing that back. Variety's the spice of life with these intros. No intro is the same. And I'm joined, as ever, by my wonderful, beautiful, talented co-host, Elliot, and also Damla's here, I guess. Hey, how's it going?
I love how you're referring to yourself in the third person, kind of.
In the third person. Oh, yes. Beautiful, stunning, perfect, but that's just me. How are you?
And yeah, apart from that, me, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
She's all joking aside, she's looking radiant. She had her hair done. She looks amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have had my hair done.
Yes. And had last week as well, but time.
Timey-wimey. No, time. I had my hair done. I had it dyed properly for the first time into like this warm brown, reddish brown. And I've also had it cut, even though I was going to grow it out, but indecisiveness and all that.
We used to be indecisive, but now she's not so sure.
Christ.
Hello.
Anywho.
I assume you're doing about the same as you were about an hour ago.
Yes, I'm doing all right. How are you, babe?
Not too bad, thank you. I've gotten more to drink, and I don't mean booze, but, you know, there's probably enough sugar in there to keep me, you know, pepped up. Whoa, fuck, whoa, all right, you know.
Whoa, yeah.
Keep me a whoa. Keep me lathered up.
I love how you did the little smile.
Just for you. This is going to be a catchphrase episode.
It is. Boots still hasn't sponsored
us. I did it. The little smile. For me? No, for you.
Barcelona, Satsuma.
Dingle, domble, dangle.
Anyway. No, but actually, anyway, like, what we're doing now.
I don't know. Well, I need to take a step back now, and we need to present the man with the sack.
We do.
He's here. I can feel him. He's, like, breathing hot breath onto my neck. It's terrifying.
Even though half the listeners don't understand the joke, but you go, Elliot, and cisgendered Elliot will come onto the mic.
Hello. Hi. Everybody's going to have a big old glance at my sack. Let's have a look at what I've got.
I don't think anyone understands that joke, but I love that we still do it.
No, it's wonderful.
No
one understands. If I make one person laugh, then I'm perfectly happy. Anyway, I have three emails, colloquially known as
three emails.
And you lucky people, we're going over some vaguely longer emails. So enjoy my mangling of words here.
Word salad, if you will.
Word salad. Now, there's a lot of context I'm going to have to read out for this just because there's so much of it that brings me pleasure. So, the subject line is, one of your future free males. Brackets, feel free to read out. Well, aren't you lucky? And it goes as follows. My dearest Damla and Elliot, if you've both done as you promised, then you'll read these words out on the podcast. It has been some weeks since I first wrote. For you, for me, it has felt like over 60 years. Just kidding, but I hope you get the reference.
I love that so much. That's amazing.
It only gets better from here. I am honestly happy with the slow path and don't care when you get to me. Currently, though, your cheery voice is reminiscing over Love and Monsters are getting me through a very long and slightly stressful train journey to old London town.
All right, Matt Smith from Last Night in Soho. How are we doing?
Oh, bloody hell.
Hello, you slat. I love that Gabby. Film so much. I love that film so much.
I love you both so much, but Elliot, could you please calm it down because your line about concrete slab Ursula going on a tandem bike ride of Elton actually broke me. I am on public transport. Sorry, I cannot be contained.
I can't be tamed.
Back in your box, copper. I've only recently discovered you, and because I'm not like other girls, although that is spelt in a way that I won't even try and pronounce with my silly voice, but it's G-U-W-L-S. It's Gwarls. It's very, yeah, Gwarls. I can't do it. I don't have the timbre. I listened to your review of Series 3, the best series, first. I'm so glad you both love Martha Jones as much as I do. Her brilliance cannot be overstated. She's honestly just straight up did the most as a companion and has the best character arc.
Agreed.
I've actually agreed with a lot of what you guys said, apart from your extremely hot take on Human Nature, Family of Blood. What the fuck? And I have a feeling that will continue into the latest seasons. I stopped watching as a kid around about the series 7-ish mark, and I've been trying to get my best to get back through the rest. I've straight up had to skip some episodes. Moffat!
Shakespeare's.
My own hot take is likely just lukewarm in its originality. But for me, I'm trepidatious about Tennant coming back. Feels a bit of a cowardly move in an effort to reclaim old audiences from the last time the show was really big. It's going to work, definitely, because I'm watching those three episodes, but I kind of hate myself for it. Also, even for Shooty, for a companion, we've got a young blonde girl named Because of Art. I mean, am I stretching here? Yes.
I have nothing but good things to say about Tennant coming back. Soz!
It's for three episodes. It's fine. It's not like he's the Doctor full-time. I understand the trepidations, but I think, you know.
You're wrong.
It's a precedent. It's a precedent that's been set in the show in the past. People just have a weird hate on for David Tennant. Not saying that you are, but I'm just saying it's an observation. Anyway, you guys are fantastic, and listening to you two talk about the show so much that you love has basically defined my interpersonality. Brings me so much joy. You make me laugh and cry and spout quotes alongside you, and genuinely feel kind of scared. Oh, okay. the other night at like 2, I was listening to you talk about the best Doctor Who ever got, The Impossible Planet. All it took was hearing those words, "He bathes in the black sun." And I was a child again, watching it, hearing those mournful violins, and afraid of the devil whispering just behind me. Toby. The raw emotion of it made me weep. Thank you for reading this email. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep listening till the end of time and beyond. Us theatre kids have got to stick together. Blue heart, smiley face. Jed. He, him. Thank you,
Jed. Thank you, Jed.
Adorable. Our next email goes as follows. Hey there, you two. Just wanted to email in to show my love for the pod. Found it a couple of weeks ago after looking for something new to focus on after re-listening to the same Buffy rewatch podcast over and over.
Vibes.
I love you guys. Vibes. You bring the same chaotic energy that those people do. Amazing. I don't know the pod, but, you know, Daniel likes Buffy, so...
Yeah, let me know which one that is.
Please. I've blasted through every episode and only a couple of weeks and have loved listening to you while doing my cross-stitching. While I have Buffy on my mind, you probably already know, but did you know that Russell was inspired by the season 3 episode, the Zeppo for Love and Monsters? No, I didn't. But only because I don't know anything about Buffy, and I don't know what the Zeppo is.
Sorry, guys. As much as I've said I'm a Buffy fan, I'm clearly not, because I've even looked it up and I can't remember this episode. So I apologise.
Well, you said we probably already know. We didn't know. And we can't verify your claims. I said I'd find out more. I haven't done that, but I appreciate it. You really make a safe space for the LGBTQ plus community, and for that I thank you. Well, you know, might have been our intention, but also, you know, it's really just as easy as, you know, not hating trans people. But, you know,
yeah,
in this country, that is a high bar to cross.
Yeah, literally. So, literally.
but glad you feel safe with us. I may not always agree with your takes. In fact, I stopped stitching during episode ratings to shout out loud, "What the fuck?" because I love some of your episodes you hate, but it doesn't stop me enjoying what you talk about. Thank you both so much for what you do, and I'm glad you take breaks when you need them, full-time jobs and a podcast on top of that. Can't be easy and would cause me to burn out in 2 weeks. You can read this out if you like. You're welcome. Rhys. P.S. What is the worst Mark Gatiss episode? Rhys says, "Sleep No More." That was terrible. He's probably got worse, but I think in terms of squandered potential, it'd be Victory of the Daleks.
But bitch, you like Idiot's Lantern. You don't even hate it.
I know. But that's why I said Victory of the Daleks. I didn't say Idiot's Lantern, did I?
For me, the answer is completely clear as day. It comes to me, not even in a vision. It's there in my brain. The answer is ready and waiting to be presented. It's The Crimson Horror, the worst episode of the show ever made. It's
Crimson
fucking
Horror,
awful.
Sleep No More, Empress of Mars.
It's just funny because Mark Gatiss is a very, very talented man. And other things he's written outside of Doctor Who I actually quite like, except The Unfriend, because we don't support that show because it promotes transphobes. Anyway, who said that? What? But yeah, like, you know, I've said this before, his adaptation of The Amazing Mr. Blunden is very good. But yeah, no, some of his episodes of Doctor Who truly do just make me shiver in the worst way. And yeah, that's my least favourite.
Yeah, like I said, I don't hate Lazarus Experiment. I don't hate Idiot's Lantern. But yeah, I think squandered potential, Victory of the Daleks, definitely. And also as well, I feel like I should clear out, just especially because, you know, the emails from last week's show and these ones, whenever I throw in a little comment about you being wrong, it's always meant in good humour. No one's ever kicked up a fuss about it, but I do want you to know I'm not being genuinely mean. Otherwise, I just wouldn't read you out because I wouldn't want to. We're having fun. I'm doing a light bit of ribbing. We're all friends here. And our final email goes as follows. Hi, Elliot and Damler. Well, you put my name first, but you spelt it wrong, so we're off to a bad start.
Kidding.
I'm kidding. My name is Joe, and I'm writing in just to tell you how much I love your podcast. Like the two of you, I'm a massive Doctor Who nerd. I was 10 when the show came back in 2005, and it has been my favourite show ever since. And it fundamentally changed my life. For the better. I remember being obsessed with the show and talking about it with all my friends in primary school, though moving into secondary school, it was mostly just me still talking about it, but it didn't stop me and my love for the show, nor does it now, to be honest. Though, I like some areas of the show more than others, I appreciate it all and will always watch it and discuss it with my friends, specifically my uni friends James and Izzy. I was James' best man for his wedding in November 2019 and managed to incorporate Doctor Who into his best man speech, which went down very well. Classic.
That's adorable!
The fact the two of you met at uni and bonded over your love of the show just proves how amazing a show like Doctor Who can be. It is insane.
It's mad. Like, I mean, we've said it before, haven't we? Like, we were obviously close in uni as well, especially during third year. But when we left uni is when we really, really became just, like, disgustingly inseparable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, because I wasn't watching Doctor Who at uni. And I actually hadn't seen it for a really long time. So, yeah, it was kind of a post-uni thing, kind of really reignited it. And the only other person really I had to talk to about it with was Damla.
Yeah. It's just annoying, though, because can you imagine if we started this podcast at uni? Like, we could have been recording together all the time. Ugh, don't. It makes me sad.
Don't know if I'd have had the energy, to be honest.
Actually, you say that, and it's actually true, yeah. Uni's hard. Uni's really hard. Yeah.
Only discovered your podcast a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going through it as quickly as I can. I write this as I'm on the Idiot's Lantern episode. Any opportunity to discuss the show is a great one, so the fact I found two passionate people who love the show as much as I do and discuss it for hours on end is fantastic and makes my long walks every day much more fun. I enjoy listening to your opinions on episodes and get a massive sense of joy when my opinion or thoughts on something is mentioned. To this day, I still skip the part in Rise of Cybermen where Jackie gives Rose a dressing down. I thought I was the only one. No, I can't watch it. It's a hard scene to watch. It's really sad.
It's really hard. It's really hard to get through every time.
Thank you for the podcast. Just listening to two people chat about a show I love is enough to make my day. And to paraphrase the 11th Doctor, the podcast definitely adds to my pile of good things.
Oh my God. That's really nice.
And if you're ever in the same geographic area as me, I would be so down to meet in person and talk shop about all things Who with you. All the best, Joe. Well, you know, it's still an ambition of ours one day, hopefully at a con or something, isn't it, to do some kind of gathering of the yeah. Cap fam, just yeah. to, you know, talk Who with people.
Yeah.
So that'd be nice. So keep an eye out, Joe. Maybe one day we'll be there. Well, I'll leave now.
Bye. Hey, Elliot, my God, you're back.
I know. What was all that about a fan meetup? I don't go to cons. I'm too important.
Honestly, though, do you think anyone gets this joke? Because I don't think anyone gets this joke.
I don't think anyone does. My entire life is one long joke that everybody else seems to be on other than me. So it's nice to do it the other way around for once.
Oh, dear.
I'm trying to deal with the terrifying spider that keeps crawling in and out of a painting that's like sat above my head. It like pokes out under the picture frame and then looks at me and then it occasionally just curls back up.
Kind of like me when I watch this episode. Roll credits.
funny thing to say. Humour.
Fucking hell.
Oh, God.
No, wow, this is the longest laugh I've ever heard.
Oh, God. What a line.
Oh, Hiccup, you're such a dickhead.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, stop, no, seriously, oh my God, no, wait, stop.
No, I'm just laughing for real now.
I'm fine. I'm not, I've got hiccups, but, oh God, right.
I'm sure you could tell by the many laughs we had up top there today. We are talking about episode 5 of series 4 of Reboot Doctor Who. It was broadcast on the 3rd of May 2008. It was directed by Douglas McKinnon. It was written again by Helen Rayner, and it is called The Poison Sky.
I just want to clarify now, I actually have hiccups from that joke Elliot made. Oh, sorry. There it goes again. So, I'm a bit fucked for the next 10 minutes.
I've achieved my ultimate goal. I've broken her physically.
Oh, no. I'm actually struggling. Okay. Oh, there we go again. Oh, yeah. No, ask the question. Sorry.
What do you think of this?
No, give us a bit of an intro. Come on, add some spice.
Okay, fine. Blimey. Well, as you know, never actually graduated properly from uni because we spent 3 years doing that course. Three laborious, tedious years with tedious bastards and got to the end of it. Made a film that no one's watched and have never used my degree. But there was one time where I thought I got to, you know, I'd gone up on stage in the robes and the hat and everything. I looked nice. I thought looked pretty all right. I put a bit of weight on it. You know, I had chubbed up. But, you know, I looked okay, I thought. I got my little scroll that they hand to you and, shook people's hands and then, got down. And I didn't use my degree. And so I'd never used my degree. And there was one opportunity where someone said to me, you made the movies? Well, just show me your degree and you can make the movies. And I thought, oh, brilliant. It's fantastic. It's everything my life's built on. It's perfect. It's exactly what I want. And I unfurled the ancient scroll, which, I've not looked at because why would I? You know, it's just a piece of paper. Threw it in a drawer. Don't actually know where it is really anymore. But I did at that point. So I unrolled it. Instead of saying, Elliot, 2-1, bachelor's degree, film, moving, image production, whatever, it just said, Elliot, you know what The Poison Sky is about? You know what Google thinks it's about? You know what IMDb thinks about? Then there's a little arrow saying PTA, PTO even. That's Paul Thomas Anderson. PTO flipped over the page and it just said, we're damned if we get back.
Oh, what can I? Oh, oh God! Sorry, I just fell asleep because I was so bored. No, I love that. Also, I
humor.
No, I thought you were going to just stop when you said, yeah, I went to uni through the boreous years with a bunch of bastards. Silence.
If anybody from uni is listening to this, which I know you're not, but if you are, I love you.
Also, half of you are bastards, but we move on.
Unless you're one of the ones I didn't like, in which case, fuck. Fuck, man. Anyway, Tara, what are the episodes about?
I'm in a silly mood. Okay, no.
In a silly, goofy mood.
I'm in a silly, goofy, hot girl mood. Anyway, the episode is about the fact that we need to stop trusting the bloody rich. Stop it. Enough. Stop giving them funding. Stop giving them a house where they have a school, where they have their own society, where they can make weird things and then help bring about the end of the universe. Stop it. Enough. Stop trusting the rich.
What I think this episode's about?
Yeah, well, yeah. So, blah, blah. What do you think this episode's about?
Mum, can we have X-Men tonight? No, we've got X-Men at home. The X-Men at home. Fill in the gaps yourself. It's the Rattigan Academy. A regular Charles Xavier.
It's truly baffling how that is actually a genuinely really good comparison, because I didn't think about that.
You're welcome, everybody. Same time next week.
This episode is a thing that exists. Sorry, you thought last week's negativity wasn't going to come here. Well, sorry.
Oh, bloody, look at him. He's turned up on horseback. Negativity. He's here.
I just can't. I really can't. I just find it... I'm confused. No, I'm not confused. It's fine. It's fine. It's just like, ugh.
It's just, ugh.
The one good thing in my life, Ross, and you kill him. It's not fair.
The episode starts strong with a false promise of emergency news broadcasts with Kirsty Walk and also that one American newscaster.
Yeah.
And it never recovers from the highs of seeing her slaying on screen.
But yeah, Ross is dead, and it's really rude. It's really rude because
Ross is dead. The other friends, Shawnee, Chandler, Raquel, Phobe, they're not taking it well.
Do you actually just not know the names of the friends, or you just is it a funny? Are you pulling a funny right now?
I'm doing a silly. I'm in a silly.
Okay, good.
Move.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. I'm like, hold on.
I know. No, I know. They're called Snowy, Joey, Mick, and...
Rick.
Amy, yeah. I know all of the names of the friends.
I know what the friends' names are, but do you know? Anyway.
I have to know what the names of the friends are because I don't have any.
Humour.
Humour, funny. Anyway, I just thought that was, you know, a good little play on the name Ross there, but, you know, it's fine, whatever. It'll end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Ross is dead, and I'm sad, basically.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, me too. I forgot he died. I was quite upset.
Yeah, and Ten is visibly really, really pissed off about it.
Yeah. Oh, Ten goes full romantic about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He dies in a terrible effect shot as well. I don't know why. What happens with those lasers, like, fast-forwarding down the corridor? What's that about?
It was giving Mr. Jefferson's gunshots. That's what it was giving.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Well done.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You're welcome. I want to also say, the minute Ross has been killed, and then Ten is like, you know, he wasn't, his name wasn't Soldier, his name was Ross. And like I told you already...
His name wasn't Greyhound 40.
Or whatever. And it's when he goes... And then he goes and says a thing that he continues to say in the show and has also said in previously, I believe. But he always does a thing where he goes, get them out of there! And I love that. Mm. I love when he says that.
There's one episode where it started where we noticed it and now I can't stop seeing it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, is it? I think is it Bullets Can't Stop It? Is that one of his things that he?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. David Tennant's running around going, ah.
Yes.
Properly, nicely, please, just regenerate. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, could I have my Luke Rattigan chat now?
You can have your Luke Rattigan fan cam. I'll, you know.
No, never fan cam. No.
I'll trim my nails. No. You know.
Like I said last week, the actor who plays him is incredible, and something that I find really interesting about Luke as a character is that you want to punch him in the face so bad. But at the same time, there is a tiny, and I mean minuscule, I mean a dot in existence, like that's how small it is. But there's like this tiny bit of you that feels kind of bad for him because he seeks approval so badly. Like he even finds, like when General Style kind of like compliments him, you can see that he kind of really attaches himself to that. And I just feel bad. But yeah, but it doesn't mean I like him because I don't. I find him endlessly irritating. But at the same time, he's great. It really works in this.
Yeah, he's a bit more. He's got a bit more to do in this one. He sort of does the crazy cult leader better, you know, whereas in the first one, he's just a bit like, oh, I'm smart. I'm so smart. Guys, you don't know how hard it is to be this smart. And then in this one, at least, he's like, I'm smart, but also cult. So, you know, fair play.
There's just a lot, I feel a lot towards him, mostly annoyance, but it's good. It's not the kind of annoyance where it's like with Adam, where it's like, sorry, I brought him up again, should have put a little trigger warning there. But no, like with Adam, it's like, ugh, why are you here? You're just bringing down the episode. It's really annoying. But with Luke, it's like, no, he should be in this episode, but he's just an annoying person.
Yeah, Luke's purpose is to be annoying, and I might find him annoying, but that is also the character working like he should be working. Still not overly fond of him, but like he's not the worst part of this.
Yeah. A lot of this episode, it's just a lot of waiting around for the things to happen. So obviously Wilf gets saved because Sylvia uses an axe to smash the window, which is iconic. And I love that. And then, then you just get the gas choking everybody for like 500 years. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of nebulous, you know, if the gas reaches 80% density, but it's at 60% density at the moment. It's a bit like, okay.
Exactly. And then, yeah, the only bit that made me, you know, pay attention was when the doctor says, are you my mummy? When he's got the gas mask on. Hilarious.
I'm a big fan of an invasion fleet. Like, I would just love, you know, in Army of Ghosts and Doomsday when the Cybermen are just, you know, breaking into people's houses and got all of the, you know, they're not ghosts, they're metal men. And David delivers that amazing, you know, they're going to fight back. You know, you're in their, you're on their streets, you're in their homes. You've got their children. That, but with like little Sontarans would be great. I think you could make them genuinely scary if they're like kicking in people's front doors and just. But then I guess because they're warriors, I suppose they'd have to like be killing the people of Earth, and you can't really do that. But like, give me a bit of confrontation. You know the scene where the Cybermen are crossing the bridge and they're shooting all the army soldiers. Give me that, but with Sontarans rather than just this nebulous. Everybody's going.
This is the thing though, it's like you make a point because literally there's a moment in this episode where they're all standing together and they all just get killed like that, like the army just go down, they're down.
Like, because I think the scale of the fleet in the factory for the budget and size of the show is quite impressive. Like, there does look like quite a lot of them, but I don't know, just when the fighting breaks out, I'm just a bit like...
It's like, okay, I'm bored. I'm actually so bored.
But it's because there's no one on the front line fighting that I care about.
Yeah, except Ross, who dies.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, it's not like when you get the Daleks invading Satellite 5 and you've got all these little bit characters that you've really grown attached to. You know, you've got Elaine the Pain and her, like, love interest, and you've got even the floor manager and the android and... Linda with an eye.
Yeah.
Like, it feels... I don't know, you just feel more invested in the action, whereas in this is just... And I know, you know, it's not a finale, but that's what you want to do. You want to set up interesting side characters in part one.
Yeah.
To utilise those side characters in part two so they can die fighting. and you feel some kind of emotional pull. Like I say, other than Ross, really, none of it really, you know, there's no one fighting that I care about. The general man is just sort of there. He is just a general man. And, you know, I need some characters to get attached to.
And that's why when they kiss at the end of this episode, it's like him and the other person. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, like it's a funny little moment that makes me go like, aha, you know, like they're so happy about winning that she's just going to like randomly kiss like a superior officer.
Yeah.
But like, it could be a moment and it's not. I think, look, I love Martha. Would die to have more Martha in Doctor Who. But I think it buckles under its own weight of having Martha there because it then can't. Which is weird because it's already struggling for things for Martha to do. That's why she's just a clone for most of it. But like, if you don't have Martha, you have to have interesting side.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Characters, but instead they're just like, well, we've got Donna and we got Martha and the Doctor and we don't really know how to juggle them. So they're all going to be sort of doing separate, not really important things.
Yeah.
It just all feels a bit weird and a bit disconnected. Like, give me an interesting side character to care about. Give me a Linda with an eye.
Exactly.
Give me Elaine the Pain. Give me someone to care about. Like, maybe getting rid of all the workers, like having the workers be drone workers was a bit like a bit of a misstep. Maybe, you know, have the workers be like the Satellite 5 guys. They're the ones who have to put up the defense for. But then you've got UNIT there, so you have an army. I don't know. It's just all a bit too grey porridge.
It's, you know, give me some peanut butter. Give me some jam. Give me a bit of honey. Hell, even a sprinkling of chia seed. It's literally bland porridge that needs a topping. That's what it is. And there's nothing wrong with bland porridge. As a porridge obsessive, and it's my favourite breakfast food, I'll eat it like that. Do you know what I mean? As long as the consistency is fine. But without some toppings, I'm not going to really be that emotional. I'm ruining the metaphor, but do you know what I mean?
Bread. You put... Take some nice bread, pop it in the toaster, it gets toasted, you take it out. Sure, you could just eat hot, crunchy bread, but you need some butter. And butter is fine.
You need butter.
But you want jam, you want Marmite, you want marmalade, you want chocolate spread, you want something.
Yeah, that's exactly
bananas,
what this is.
Avocado, scrambled egg, Satsuma.
the Medusa Cascade. Do you know what I mean? Like, it needs... It's bland with no spice. Add a little bit of spice. That's what this needs.
Yeah.
Because you just get a whole load of things happening. Actually, you don't. I just told a lie. Backtrack. But a whole load of stuff doesn't happen. It's actually the opposite. Nothing really happens except like three things. But the three things that happen just don't fill me with enthusiasm or emotion, because I'm just like, okay, cool. What they should have done was made the Sontarans more menacing. That's my main issue. It was my issue with last week's episode. It's my issue with this episode. They don't feel like a threatening presence. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, I was watching this with my boyfriend and he was like laughing because he was like, they suck. And I'm like, no, they kind of do. And it's like, especially when, like, I can't remember if it was last week or this week, but it's like, because they talk in random sentences, don't they? Which I love about them. That's something I love about them. But it's like, I'm mainly laughing at them this whole time. Like, my favourite bit is when Commander Stahl is like, you insult me, sir. Like, it was so funny the way he said it. I don't know why. It made me giggle. How dare, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I love it. Again, I'm not complaining about that because it's funny. But it's like, all you're giving me is funny. This is how I'm interpreting it. Again, it's my opinion. But yeah, I think that's where a lot of the issue comes from.
Yeah, when the doctor doesn't treat them like a threat, you know, he just sees them and he's just like, oh, he's not doctor for years. Rather than being like, oh, these guys are scary. You just kind of lose. Why? If the doctor's not afraid, why should you be afraid?
Precisely that. Like, at the end of the episode, when the doctor is about to sacrifice himself to save the world, the only reason why we feel any kind of like, you know, is because obviously the doctor could die and we don't want that to happen. But it's like, up till that point, I don't feel the stakes. I feel the stakes in that moment, but everything else I'm like, yeah, okay, everyone's choking on gas, but it just doesn't, I don't know, I'm not explaining myself very well, but it just, no, I don't feel the tension.
But say, they're an invasion fleet and they are not doing it, they're not invading, and they're just kind of, they are the subplot to make the thing with the cars happen, and it's just kind of less interesting. Like, give me, I mean, at the end of the series, we're going to have a full-on Dalek invasion story, and it is incredible. Contrast the way that, you know, people like Jack talk about the Daleks invading with how people treat the Sontarans in this, and it's just, it's night and day. I just think going comedic with them was just the wrong way to go, you know?
Yeah.
And again,
absolutely.
And the thing is, I feel like it is almost a really good episode to compare with Bad Wolf Parting of the Ways. I know it's not a finale, but you think, like, the Daleks aren't in that first episode. It is about discovering the mysteries on board Satellite 5, why people are being transmatted, what's happening, and it's one of the most engaging episodes of TV. And you could do that, but we don't do that.
It's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know. And like, the Martha clone, something I want to go back to, like you said, the Martha clone, it just feels, Martha's clone is just getting a little bit tired. It's getting a bit tired. I like that we resolve it quicker. Like, it's kind of halfway through. I wish it was resolved a bit earlier, personally, because it was just a bit like, okay. I have a question, though. What do clones smell like?
I bet it's really chemically.
See, I'm thinking, like, cheese. Cheesy.
Like, oh, yeah, like, gone-off milk. Yeah, sour. Just like, ugh.
Vile, sour milk.
Mmm.
Oh, like, you know when someone's not showered and like all their, no, let's not go there. Anyway, whatever. That was just me being curious.
Curious?
I just want to know, because he's like, oh, quite, you know, I knew, Martha, I knew, you know, I knew that you were a clone because quite frankly, you stink.
Yeah, so maybe Martha's just been running around the battlefield trying to, you know, maybe she's not had time to have a shower.
Maybe.
So it must be quite a stink.
We'll say though, continue with the Martha clone thing. Martha having a hot girl chat with her own clone is iconic as fuck.
Oh, yeah. It's like, maybe or may not be the best part of this episode.
Like, the chat they have is stupid. It's ridiculous. It's like, oh my God, what are we talking about here? Like, stop. It's like fake deep. Do you know what I mean? But the fact that she's doing it with her own clone, it's hilarious.
Well, speaking of clones, can I make an astute observation? Because I'm struggling.
Yes.
I'm spinning plates here, mate, I'll be honest.
yeah, me too. Oh, no!
I like that one random Sontaran that kills the sort of unit soldier docile clones. You know, when they're standing there and they're like, oh, reporting for duty, sir. And then he kind of walks past them and just turns around and just like, pop, pop. It's funny. It's funny.
I don't have anything
to say about it. It just makes me laugh. This is war. It's sport.
I just struggle with this. I'm sorry. Again, it's not even terrible. It's not good, but it's not like the worst thing ever. It's just like, oh, well, what look, do we talk about?
Donna gets her own key.
Right, yeah.
That's nice. And it's such...
That's cool.
That's good, yeah. That happens. Yeah. It's a nice little understated moment, you know. Because there's no big speech or big moment where he's like, you know, oh, you get the key. He's just sort of like, oh, you need this. I haven't given you one yet. Here, you are, have this.
But But then that's why I like the Donna's like, you know, we can save the ceremony for later. Like, I'm choking right now. Do you know what I mean? Keep it moving and grooving, Doctor.
It does weirdly. It feels a lot like the resolution to this. You know, with her having to stealth through the Sontaran ship. Reminds me a lot of Stolen Earth Journey's End.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because that's what she's stuck in the TARDIS, right? That's why she. It's how she saves the day.
Yeah. There's a lot of foreshadowing in this episode to that two-parter, I feel like.
And as well, you know what? The bit where he's trying to. The bit where he's talking to the Sontarans, they're doing the diplomacy chat.
Yeah.
And he's like subtly communicating to Donna about how there's a phone inside the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Is a good bit, but it does remind me of the Far Superior. You know, my favourite bit from Age of Steel with the, you know, oh, all these buttons, you know, hash, key, and my favourite one, send.
Send! Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very that. Yeah.
Very that, but not as good. Because Jake's not there.
Exactly, agreed. But another bit of foreshadowing, though, the bit that really sent me was when Donna comes back to Earth from the Sontaran ship, and she sees that there's another Martha just lying dead on the floor, and she's like, there's two of you. And then Doctor's like, yeah, long story, can't really explain it. It's giving, there are two of you, two doctors. I can't tell you what I'm thinking right now.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say you enjoyed seeing Rose on the little monitor. When that, like, diplomacy chat starts just as Donna goes to the TV, it's literally you get like a split second of Rose doing the, you know.
But yeah, let's talk about it, because I love when Rose appears throughout series 4. I find it so fun, like her just randomly appearing on screens going, Doctor, it's great. It's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Rose?
What are you doing, Rose? It's like that TikTok audio that's like, James, you know, what are you doing? But yeah, do you not love it?
I do. I do. I always, how is she in the TV? What's happening? Look at her awful hair. I love all of the emotions that it conjures up when I see a surprise Rose Tyler. And I forget which episode she's in because it's been a hot moment since I've actually seen them. So it was a nice little surprise when I saw it. The only other one I can remember is Midnight. That's the only one I can ever remember that she's actually in.
It is Midnight, like specifically behind the 10th Doctor. It's great. But yeah, it's really fun. All of the Rose cameos throughout series 4 just send me to the stratosphere. It's so fun.
Yeah. So it was nice. It's a good little moment.
It is a really good little moment.
I also enjoy when the TARDIS gets transported away. The reason the Doctor knows it's been taken is because he can taste the metallic tang in the air.
Tang.
Tang.
Good word.
He can taste the metallic tang in the air is quite a good lilt off the tongue. But yeah, I like that, you know, more points for our sensory boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can taste the air.
The sensory chart, another little tick on there. I will say, I feel like the main last thing to discuss, sorry, there's just not a lot going on, is, so again, like I mentioned earlier, at the finale of this episode, the bit where Ten is saying goodbye to Martha and Donna and Luke, and you're like, what's going on? And like Donna's like, you're saying goodbye. Why? And he's like, you know, I'm going to go and destroy them in a way, like, you know. And then Martha's like, oh, you know, send it up on its own. And he's like, I need to give them a chance, which is great. But then it's like, he goes up there, whatever. And you know that obviously the Doctor's not going to die mid-series. That's mad. If they did that, props. If they ever did that. Also, I never want my favourite fictional character in the whole world to die. That would be awful. But do you know what I mean? Like, mad props. But anyway, and you think, how the hell is he going to get out of this? But it's so this bit of the episode I really love is when he says to Donna, you know, Donna, you are brilliant. Martha, the times we've had, you're brilliant. And Luke, do something clever with your life, which is a great thing to say. Because he could have just gone, and Luke, you dick, I don't know what to say to you, bye. Do you know what I mean? But he said, do something clever with your life. And then you get that wonderful bit where Luke jumps up onto the transmat, grabs the control, and Donna or Martha, I can't remember, says, what are you doing? Something clever. Swaps places with Ten. Sontar. Ha! Boom!
Yeah. That very clearly sets the seed in his mind. It's a good little
It's
moment.
So good, and it's just the way that I think it's just such a, it was such a good idea to do that. I think that was perfect. Because let's be honest, Luke is very irredeemable. Like, you know, he was planning on making another world with just clever humans and they breed and reproduce. He even had, like, the mating plan set.
Yeah, so he could breed with
weird.
The hot girls. Yeah.
So strange. So strange. Like, he's really weird. So I think this was a really good way for him to just be useful. Sorry, is that a bad thing to say?
No, it's right. You're right, though. He gets a resolution, right? Like, his arc feels fulfilled because he is angry with the Sontarans. He fulfills the usefulness of a side character. But yeah, we don't have to be like, you know, oh, no, you're all right, really, Luke. We like you. You can just kill him, but his sacrifice is worth something.
Exactly, and I think that was really well done.
So you then kind of left to the viewer then to either go, oh, he was all right in the end, or to go, I still think he's a bit of a bell end.
Yeah, no, he is a bell end. I think he's a bell end, but I think, because he, it's like, okay, so slightly rewinding, it's like when he comes back after finding out the Sontarans were like, oh, we were just using you. You mean nothing to us, and your school meant nothing to us. And then he transports himself back and he's like lying on the floor on the transmat and he's just kind of like crying because he's so embarrassed with himself. Great bit of acting yet again from him. But yeah, it's very much that. It's like, you know, you see these moments and like I said, you feel this tiniest bit of sympathy. But yeah, I just think his whole round out at the end was really, really good. But then you get even better towards the end, right at the end, when Donna's saying bye to Wilf again. And this breaks me. It truly fucking destroys me because the acting is so good from Catherine and Bernard. And it's the way Donna's trying to hold it together. She stands up and hugs him. And it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And she's just like, love you. And then walks away and she's just sobbing. Fuck. It's so emotional. And again, with all this new context we have with Bernard, it makes it even more emotional. But even before that, my God.
And I do think as well, I think that, you know, my final word on it will be, I do actually, I like the resolution, the like burning off the excess gas, like is actually quite a...
Oh yeah, that's good.
It's quite a smart resolution, actually. I like it.
Really cool visual as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad either. I think it also just reminded me of, it's fun because earlier we were talking about Barbie off mic, but you know, the two biggest hits of the summer, you got Barbie and Oppenheimer, and it just reminds me of there's that chat in Oppenheimer about, you know, if you split the atom and cause a chain reaction, you just might not be able to ever get it to stop and it might ignite the entire atmosphere. And it's just, that was the visual that was in my mind for when that was happening. So I was like, oh, nice. I like that.
Love that.
Yeah. So, you know, was it a great moment? I don't know. But it kept me entertained
Looks
for a
cool.
moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was able Absolutely. To sound clever by pulling a parallel to something. So good job, everybody.
And then we get Martha at the end saying goodbye. Also, we thought, because the TARDIS mysteriously, the door shuts and they're being taken somewhere else. I love that Martha is coming along for one more... Well, not well, she's obviously in other episodes of the series, but for like another adventure with Donna and Ten. It's wonderful. I love their little dynamic. So I'm glad that that choice was made because we get more Martha, which is always a good thing. So we are at the wrap-up, where we talk about our standout moment, what didn't work, our most doctory moment, and our favourite quote. Elliot, going to take it to you, as always. What is your standout moment from The Poison Sky? Why did I sound like a presenter then?
What is your standout moment? Because you are, babe. You should be trying to put some effort in.
I'm sorry, I struggle with this episode.
Why did I sound all slick and like a broadcaster then? I don't know. But try more. No, kidding. Anyway, we talked about it already, so I won't go off too long. But it is Martha chatting to her clone. Fun hot girl moment, like, because you know we love a hot girl chat. I just straight away, since it happened, I was like, they're doing a hot girl chat, and it's with her own cologne. Love it. Camp, outrageous. I want to say fierce. Enjoyed.
Fierce. My standout moment is Donna opening the link to Earth. So all of that bit where she's in the TARDIS, Ten speaking to her on the phone, and she gets the Sontaran back of the neck and all of that, just like her doing it on her own and Ten hyping her up, being like, oh, you're brilliant, you are, you're brilliant. And Sontaran, whatever. That whole bit was so good.
That bit, you know, and it's not something I like to go into too much because, you know, he is objectively a handsome man, but, you know, we try not to objectify people loads on this, but when she says back of the neck and then he sort of takes the phone away from his ear and holds it to his mouth and he just sort of goes like, oh, you're brilliant, you are. Ruin me. Please, ruin my life.
Ruin me, please and thank you. Yeah, no, I agree. It's
like, yeah, it's we try not to get too thirsty about David Tennant on this, but, you know, like, just every now and then.
You got to.
Well, yeah, I'm allowed like one a series. This is my this one. I can't remember if there was any in series three. I remember series two talking about him licking jam off his fingers. So, you know, we're allowed to have fun here.
I think I'm going to reserve mine for when 10-2 comes into the picture. Save it.
I really can't tell you what I'm thinking right now.
So what didn't work for you in this episode?
I mean, again, just fucking... Like, his sacrifice in the end was nice, but just fucking everything involving Rattigan, and I'm just like, I just... there's no reason for me to care. And like, when the episode has at least got some action going on, at least I'm able to go like, oh, look, men shooting guns. Oh, good. That's fun. That keeps me more distracted than like a little whiny man with a gun going, oh.
Yeah.
That being said, though, if I can pick another random off-the-cuff choice, there's too much gun chat in this.
There is. It is a bit much. It's like, all right, we get it.
Sometimes, it's just a little like, by the time the 20th person's held a gun in front of him and he's like, you know, ugh. It's like, okay, we know you don't like guns.
And like, don't salute. I told you not to salute. And it's like, okay, shut up. They're just going to do it anyway.
Flanderization of the 10th Doctor in this episode. What is a moment that didn't work for you?
I'm going to copy you because it's what I've got written down. It's the same as last week. The Sontarans just aren't a real threat for me. Personally, they just don't feel scary or intimidating. They don't have to be scary, sorry, I don't mean that, but like, they, you know, they just they don't intimidate me. It doesn't feel like there's high enough stakes, even though there is in a way, but they just don't it doesn't feel like it. And that's my
fair name. Honestly, fair. Fierce,
is that your new favorite word?
Why not? We'll just start using a new one.
So what's your most doctory moment in this episode?
Probably the fact that you find out throughout the whole episode he's been manipulating the clone of Martha to, like, not launch the nuclear weapons, and he's known all along because she stinks and is a rubbish clone. That feels very, especially 10th Doctor coded.
Yeah, like...
But you know what I mean?
Every 5 minutes, like, what do you think, Martha? And she's like, well, how should I know?
Yeah, and you can tell, right? Like, you know, you can tell as a viewer that he knows that something is up. I like that. I like that a lot. What's your most doctoring moment?
Mine is the Doctor wanting to give the Sontarans a choice. Of course it is.
Yeah, that's good. It's better than mine.
Very doctory. Very doctory. Very quintessential Doctor energy. Mm. Anyway, last one then. What is your favourite quote from The Poison Sky?
I actually do have a couple, to be fair. There are some good lines.
I have one, unfortunately. Okay.
Go, give me your one.
So mine is, now you go with him, that wonderful Doctor, go and see the stars, and then bring a bit of them back for your old gramps. What do you mean? What do you mean? So good.
Nice. I like that.
It's just offensive. It's so offensive. I can't even fathom how offensive that line, that bit of dialogue is.
Fair. Mine are all silly ones, because they're always all silly ones.
Go on then, darling. Go on, darling.
I enjoy. My God, they're like trolls. Lovely bit of diplomacy, thanks. We already mentioned it, because I would have a serious one, which is his name wasn't Greyhound 40, it was Ross, but you know, I've already mentioned that. I love, it's on Sontaran shape, you need three fingers. You've got three fingers. Oh, yeah. And actually, I thought it was really nice. Actually, when Donna's like, I can't do that, I can't even mend a fuse. And she goes, Donna, stop talking about yourself like that. And it's like, oh, everyone needs that friend that's going to give them that kick up the arse.
You know what? You say that and it's just reminded me. I love how much everyone is hyping up Donna in this episode. Like, Ten is just telling her, like, yeah, don't talk about yourself like that. No, you're brilliant, whatever. And then Wilf at the start, when he's like, go on, girl, you go with that doctor. Go on. Like, you know, I love it.
Yeah. Everyone should love
it. It's what she deserves. Donna. And Martha, yeah. So, Elliot, now we're done with our little wrap-up moment. We've got to rate this episode out of 5. And last week's episode. So let's start with last week. The Sontaran stratagem. What are you giving it out of 5?
Well, I feel like I was maybe a bit lighter on it than you were. You know, because I enjoy it like enough. I think it's fine. So for that, I've given it a 2.5. Just like mediocre half marks.
Snap. Me too.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's not abhorrent. It's not awful. It's there. It's not completely offensive. So 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. I thought you were going to be harsher on it than me. So fair enough.
We love it when we match. But Poison Sky, the Poison Sky, out of 5, my love, what are you giving it?
Honestly, I feel exactly the same as I did about last week's, which is there is nothing grossly offensive in it. There is also nothing that I love in it. It is a half mark episode. It's a 2.5.
Unfortunately for me, I've given it a 2.
That's fair. I just don't think it's any worse than Sontaran Stratagem.
I just think... Do you know
I also don't
is?
Think it's any better.
Rewatching it now, I just found part 1 more entertaining than part 2. Like, I don't know why, but that's how I feel. That is how I feel. So it's a 2 for me. Sorry. So overall markings then. So for the two-parter, what are you giving it out of 5?
It'd be weird if I gave it anything other than a 2.5.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing as that's my average.
Mine, like, I would say, for me, I would say the same. I'd say a 2.5. I think giving it a 2 would be harsh. So 2.5, definitely.
Nice.
I actually want to make one quick note before we go into your wonderful, beautiful wrap-up that you've perfected. Because I could go back and edit this in, but I'm not going to. I want to mention it here now. The shot of Martha, Donna and Ten hugging is tattooed onto my brain. Because Donna gives him a slap on the arm. And then she holds his arm. And Martha, Donna and Ten are just having a little moment together. And I really loved that.
Cute.
It's adorable, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, that brings the curtains down on another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. We hope you had fun. We sure did. If you like what you heard and want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. Over there, we have multiple tiers. You can get written shout-outs. You can get named shout-outs. You can get ad-free listening. So... we love all the people who support us over there. Helps us keep the lights on. Help us make this an eventual, proper thing that we do rather than just a hobby. We love all of our wonderful patrons over there, but we especially love Dr. Pompadour and Jason because they are on the right tiers. I'm kidding. There's no right or wrong tiers. Patreon.com/comealongpodcast. However, times are hard. Friends are few. Everyone's strapped for a bit of cash. Blimey, I know we are. Jesus Christ. If you don't want to give us some monthly reoccurring billing, you can head to ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. That's ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. Over there, you can give us a one-off donation. The price of a cup of coffee, one for me, one for Damla, one for both of us. If you are feeling generous, ko-fi.com/comealongpondpodcast. We would really appreciate it. However, just by listening to the episode, you're already giving us enough support, and we really appreciate it. You can also show your support by rating us on Spotify, on iTunes, and... by emailing in, like Joe, like Reese, like Jed, you can get a shout-out. If you send us an email, we'll endeavour to read it out on the show. That's comealongpondpod@gmail.com. However, other ways you can support us. We're on social media, tiktok.com/comealongpodpodcast. You can't miss us, it's got the same artwork everywhere. We passed our highlights, our lowlights, hot girl chats, fun little momos. That's probably how you found this podcast. You can go argue with some weirdos in the comments. Do whatever you want over on tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. However, your one-stop shop, all 3,500 of you crazy, crazy people, maybe more by the time this goes out, who knows, instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. You can't miss the same artwork everywhere. I'm talking stories, I'm talking reels, I'm talking posts, I'm talking polls, I'm talking lives, I'm talking DMs, I'm talking updates about when I'm sick, updates about when Damla's sick, updates about when both of us are sick, updates on when episodes aren't coming out, maybe updates about guests, who knows. But we are trucking forward to 4,000 people. That's what we want over there. So if you don't know that we've got on Instagram, even though I'm sure it's probably drummed into your head by now, bloody follow it, mate. But with all that being said, Damn, it's been lovely being joined by you this evening.
And the same for you, my lovely. Honestly, I'm so sorry if this episode was just lackluster, but this episode is, very much that. So hopefully you enjoyed our stupid little ramblings.
But it's our show.
It's our show. At the end of the day. So.
Always get what you want. Incidentally, it's been lovely being joined by all of you at home as well.
And we give you air from our lungs. Sorry, the Atmos got in the way. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye. I think my phone's broken. I need to make an appointment. I've got to see O2. Thank you very much.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.